Did you know the Bible describes a good type of grief? It's called godly grief. We can't avoid grief in life, but how we handle it matters. In 2 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about grieving in a godly manner. Godly grief is when we grieve over our burdens without becoming bound to our past, and when we grieve over our pain without forgetting God's perspective. Join Stephen as he explores Paul's insights on how to experience grief.
Have you ever thought about the fact that the Bible describes a good type of grief? Or we could put it, grieving in a good or godly manner. Well, the truth is we can't avoid grief in life. Even Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, and he wept as he rode into Jerusalem, knowing that his nation would, they would reject him. Well, how can we identify grieving in a godly manner? What is good grief? Well, first, good or godly grief is when we grieve over our burdens without becoming bound to our past. Some people grieve over what they've lost and they never move forward. The question you need to answer is this: what are you focusing on today? Your memories of the past or your dreams for the future? Godly grief is when we grieve over our burdens without becoming bound to our past. Secondly, godly grief is when we grieve over our pain without forgetting God's perspective. What did God teach you in the past, there in that valley where he gave you new insight into his word? What is God teaching you today about himself? Beloved, God never intends suffering to be wasted. There's always fresh vision and godly perspective down there in that valley of suffering. That's why Isaiah called that valley the valley of vision. Well, as we set sail back into 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, Paul talks about different kinds of suffering that he endured and the grief that he experienced. He writes here in verses 5 and 6, "When we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Now, why was Paul afflicted here, and how did Titus's arrival bring him comfort? Well, it's no secret that the Corinthian church was a problem church for Paul. He was distressed by the division among them, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He was frustrated by their immaturity, chapter 3. He was ashamed of their pride, chapter 4. He had to rebuke them for tolerating sexual immorality in their midst, chapter 5. He even had to scold them for the selfish way they were observing the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. Well, how would you like to pastor a church like that? It was one heartache, one trouble after another. And let me tell you, it completely wore out the Apostle Paul. He hadn't been able to sleep. He found no rest. He writes, he was afflicted at every turn. That's why the arrival of Titus brought such encouragement to Paul. Paul had sent Titus to Corinth to check up on them. And in those days of slow travel, slower mail, it was weeks before Titus returned with a report. And when Titus finally returned, he had great news. The Corinthian church had taken Paul's words to heart, and they were making great progress in correcting the problems. And this brought Paul great joy. But it also encouraged Titus. Paul writes here in verse 7, "And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you." So all of this was so incredibly encouraging to Paul. He writes down here in verse 4, "I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy." By the way, this is a good reminder, beloved, that when you walk with God, you not only encourage yourself, you encourage others as well. Let me summarize in two sentences what Paul is communicating here. First, God's comfort and strength are always greater than our suffering and pain. Secondly, no matter what kind of grief you're going through, God has a good purpose behind it all. Now, this report from Titus obviously thrilled Paul. He writes to the Corinthians here in verse 7, "He," that is Titus, "told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more." I don't think Paul was surprised that this church was in mourning because of their sin. He continues here in verse 8, "For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while." In other words, Paul expected his letter to bring them grief. He was sorry it had to be that way, but he wasn't sorry that he had to write the letter. They needed to hear what he had to say. Their grieving was for their benefit. He writes here in verse 9, "I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting." You see, when the Corinthians read Paul's letter of rebuke and correction, they responded in exactly the way God wants us to respond when he corrects us. They realized the truth of God's word made them uncomfortable, but instead of making excuses, they faced up to the pain they'd caused by their actions. And get this, they repented and started making things right. As Paul writes here in verse 9, "You were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief." Well, now Paul spends some time talking about the differences between godly grief and worldly grief. In verse 10, he writes, "Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." Now, you and I might have never thought about the fact that there were different kinds of griefs. The truth is, the difference might mean life or death, eternal life or eternal judgment. Worldly grief is me-centered. Godly grief is God-centered. Worldly grief comes from our own sinful nature, and it leads us to make excuses and complain that we're being unfairly accused. Godly grief is produced by God's Spirit, and it leads us to repent of our sin. Worldly grief says, "Well, how could this happen to me?" Godly grief says, "How could I let my Lord down in this way?" With worldly grief, we're concerned about our own reputation. In godly grief, we're concerned about how we've hurt God's reputation. Worldly grief makes a person bitter. Godly grief makes a person better. Paul adds here in verse 11, "See what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter." When Paul says here that the Corinthians proved themselves innocent, he isn't saying they tried to prove he was wrong about them, that they were innocent of all the things he rebuked them for. Instead, Paul is saying that they made things right and they became innocent in every matter. They repented over every sin, and they proved their newfound innocence by this newfound zeal for God. Now, toward the end of chapter 7, Paul talks about his joy at Titus's good news and about Titus's personal joy and how he was refreshed by his visit with the Corinthians. Then in verse 14 here, Paul writes something that might surprise us. "For whatever boasts I have made to Titus about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you is true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true." That's incredibly gracious to me. Paul has actually boasted to Titus about the Corinthian church. He had spoken highly of this problem church to Titus? Well, evidently yes. I think Paul always saw the good that God could bring about in people's lives. Even though Paul had suffered greatly because of this church, he was evidently an incredible optimist, always looking forward to the future, always seeing the potential in every believer and in every church. By the way, that's a good reminder for us. No matter what problems you see around you today, concentrate on the goodness of God, the good things that God is doing, the good things that God has given you. Yes, you might be grieving today. Just make sure it's godly grief. Godly grief is when we grieve over our burdens without being bound to our past. Godly grief is when we grieve over our pain without forgetting God's perspective. So, what is God teaching you today down there in the valley of suffering? Well, the valley of fresh insight. What are you going to learn today there in that valley of new vision? Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today you learned how godly grief helps you grow through your pain and keeps you focused on God's perspective. It's not easy, but strive to embrace godly grief, allowing it to transform your heart for God's glory. We have additional resources to help you walk wisely through life. If you haven't already, I invite you to sign up for a free membership in what we call Friends of Wisdom. When you join, you'll start receiving resources from Stephen that'll help you walk wisely through your life. Each Tuesday, Friends of Wisdom receive an email from Stephen. It might be an encouraging article to help you apply God's Word to your daily life, or an answer to a Bible question he's received. It's always interesting to see what others are asking and to read Stephen's answers. You might find that he addresses something you've been wondering about. Joining Friends of Wisdom is both free and easy. Visit wisdomonline.org/friends and fill out a brief form. That's all it takes. You'll be signed up and start hearing from Stephen very soon. Visit wisdomonline.org/friends today. I'm glad you were with us. We're going to continue through the Bible in the days ahead. Join us back here next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.